Hello and welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. We left off last segment talking with Twitch. We got a bit of an origin story and then the growth story, but literally as we were walking to the elevator after the interview, our Twitch interviewee dropped some new features on us and we thought it prudent to get him back in the studio for a couple of minutes. So keep in mind that recent data shows that Twitch users watch more video per month than YouTube users. Keep in mind that recent data shows that Twitch users watch more video per month than YouTube users. Now, that corporate rivalry is not going anywhere anytime soon. Here's our quick follow-up chat, and then we'll be back to talk some Elon Musk and more. First, here's Twitch. One thing I forgot to ask you about, which was kind of a big deal, and it's my mistake, Twitch Prime?
Twitch Prime is something that I'm excited to talk about because when Twitch was acquired by Amazon about 2 years ago, the biggest feedback we received from our community is, hey, when are you going to bundle Twitch in with Amazon Prime? And it's something that, one thing about Twitch is we're built upon user feedback, meaning that we let our community influence which direction we go. Mm-hmm. So like when we're thinking about what new features we're going to add, we don't look to what competitors are doing. We listen to our users and they tell us what they want. That's what we focus on. For example, they want us to migrate to HTML5. We just did that this year. They want video upload. We did that. And in terms of Amazon Prime, they wanted to find some way to get Twitch as part of that. And so what it means is that if you have Amazon Prime, you automatically get Twitch Prime. And what Twitch Prime does is it gives you a lot of gaming-related benefits, a lot of which are tailored towards the Twitch user. For example, we have a ad-free viewing product on Twitch called Turbo, and that is now bundled in with Twitch Prime. So if you're subscribed to Amazon Prime, you can watch Twitch ad-free. You also get special emotes that you can use in chat, special colors, and these types of things are very important to our community. They love things that help them stand out in chat. And one of the coolest things is that with Twitch Prime, you're able to get a free subscription for every 30 days to Twitch broadcaster of your choice. And that's exciting because most Twitch users subscribe to at least one, if not more,
right,
channels.
Right.
And the idea that if they have a subscription to Amazon Prime, that's one channel they don't have to pay for the subscription for.
That's a great incentive.
Oh, yeah. And when we launched this, we started seeing our broadcasters, their subscriptions went through the roof. And they get paid just as if, somebody was paying them directly. So
right. So
it totally benefits them. And one of the things I think I mentioned earlier is that when Twitch rolls out a product, the first question we always ask is not how much money will this make, but is this good for the broadcaster? Because if the broadcaster is successful, we're successful. So we lead with them. And we thought Twitch Prime has enough benefits that'll be beneficial for our broadcaster.
Hey, real quick, let's just go through some quick numbers, Chase, before we let you go.
Currently attract close to 10 million daily active users. These are people who are coming to our site each day to check out content. And your average viewer spends 106 minutes per person per day, which
wow,
is pretty off the charts in terms of engagement.
That was Chase, the Twitch PR executive with one name. We'll put a link for reference on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. As we were scripting this week, Google's parent company, Alphabet, reported its earnings, and Google, being its biggest subsidiary, showed growth in its money-making on mobile with advertising. But one area that stood out to me was YouTube and Google's lack of clarity around YouTube usage. Google CEO Sundar Pichai spent plenty of time touting Google's investments like hardware, cloud services, and of course YouTube. However, Pichai would not give any hard numbers for subscribers to paid YouTube services like YouTube Red or YouTube Music, saying it was only, quote, early days, end quote, for those products. I don't know about that. We'll have more on that also at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio for a little context. Now it's time for an occasional feature on this broadcast. It's This Week in Elon Musk. Well, we haven't checked in on Elon Musk much since the turn of the year, and according to the New York Times, this is a prime time to do that because there's a, quote, budding bromance, end quote, between Musk and President Donald Trump. Now, on one hand, if you have the president calling climate change a Chinese hoax, well, the administration is pushing ahead with controversial oil pipelines as well. And the oxymoron of clean coal is de rigueur around Washington. So how does clean energy maverick Elon Musk curry favor with the fossil fuel champion that seems to be Trump? Well, that's easy. Jobs. American jobs. The administration values the creation of valuable, innovative high-tech and manufacturing jobs. That's according to the New York Times. And Musk's Tesla and SolarCity are front and center on that tip. Now, here are the numbers to prove it. Solar technologies, both photovoltaic and concentrated, employ almost 374,000 workers, or 43% of the electric power generation workforce. Coal, by contrast, accounts for about 86,000 workers. Now, those are from the U.S. Department of Energy. It's not like I pulled that from a lobbyist or a trade magazine. Now, remember, Musk was at the Tech Leader Summit at Trump Tower in December. And just this week, Musk was at a manufacturing summit at the White House. One other area of potential bromance is the electricity grid. Musk says it's not only physically outdated, but it is a cybersecurity risk. Well, that sounds like a swing zone. Trump aims to launch a national infrastructure program, so this seems teed up for one of those guys to swipe right and take that relationship to the next level. All right, that was This Week in Elon Musk, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
You must be raving mad. We're on the air. Look, what's the idea? Come back here.
Finally this week, some Trump trolling, pro and con. Let's start with Twitter. Twitter, a once useful tool for celebrity stalkers and news gatherers. Now it's a storm of alt-facts, anti-facts, and more furious misspellings than we have previously known. Why? Well, if you're asking why, I just can't even. Trump wasn't always president, obviously, and he's of a certain pre-internet age. So how did Trump troll people he disagreed with back in the day? Through tabloid newspapers and gossip rags. Now think about it. Those are one-way communications that require little, if any, follow-up verification on behalf of the publication. What we call a platform these days. There has been a proliferation on Twitter of fake handles that purport to be leakers of political gossip or just straight up trolling of the president and his staff. Twitter is banned in China also. No matter though, tech savvy users there have created more than a million fake tweets in English and Chinese that aim to mock the 45th U.S. president. Some of the trolliest. Make your chicken year great again. It is the Lunar New Year. Another, wish everybody a very happy Chinese New Year. I love China. I love the Chinese people, just like I love Melania and Ivanka. I'll just leave that one there. Now, turning to some domestic trolling. Kellyanne Conway, Trump's special assistant and campaign manager, coined a phrase that is not passing the smell test at Merriam-Webster. The dictionary publisher and a longtime English language style guide takes exception to the use of, quote, alternative facts, end quote. Kellyanne used that phrase on Meet the Press, and Merriam-Webster took to Twitter to clarify. A fact is a piece of information presented as having objective reality. Then they followed up with, whispers into the void, in contemporary use, fact is understood to refer to something with actual existence. Alternative facts are not facts. They're falsehoods. There's also been a spike in searches for the word claque, C-L-A-Q-U-E. Such as, and again quoting from Twitter, if you're part of a group that's paid to applaud, you're a clacker. That's from Merriam-Webster again. So we're going to continue following the odyssey of alternative facts here on Techonomics. In the coming weeks, we will have a fact checker from PolitiFact on to help explain just how difficult it is to quell the proliferation of fake news. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Techonomics. We hope you had fun and enjoyed yourself. If you'd like to re-listen to anything from this or any other show, really, check out kgoradio.com/Techonomics, or you can pull down the podcast wherever you procure your weekly infotainment. We also post a playlist of the music we use each week at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. We try to put some forgotten jewels on there, and we try to surface new tunes that may have gotten past you. For producer Leonda Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, my name is Jason Middleton. This has been Techonomics. Don't be a stranger and have great weeks, everybody.